The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! Wide on the siren! Solomon Pickett, whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your marks!
Oh, gee whiz.
He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Higginbotham takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. How sweet it is, eh?
Pickett lines up.
Going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy.
Started with him.
Yep. Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. That is the play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. At champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals, you can make the case for being best on ground.
I think they were a better team last year than they are now.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And I think this is going to be a pretty tough show to do.
It's hard. It's sort of like a medieval battlefield where you're on the winning side. You're one of the proud generals, and then you find out that your son was killed in the cavalry charge. Not sure that's the best analogy, but it's very mixed emotions.
No, I almost feel like it's the start of Gladiator, except Maximus has just been killed, or at least torn his ACL and MCL ligaments.
Yeah, he's going to miss the next campaign against the Goss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
lucky Nick that I'm not locked down and, have plenty of things to distract myself from dwelling about Tom Hawkins pushing Bolter into Soldo all day.
Yeah. When I saw it, I honestly thought it's more likely to be an MCL rather than an ACL because it... The impact from
so
the
actually.
But yeah. little did I know that we would get both. Like,
yeah. Such a look. The thing was during the game, I obviously devastated. I love Soldo, but like of all the positions on the ground, our it's the position we have the most depth in and our 1A option. We have 1A and 1B, not really a first string and a second string ruck. So, not surprisingly, as soon as Nank was solo ruck, his eyes lit up and it was 2017 again. And obviously it was very sad for his colleague, but he played brilliantly, from that moment on. It's just, as Simon Moore said nicely, he's a cart horse and he had this. And there was a bit of the story of the game too is Jack, as soon as Lynch went down, Jack just it was 2012 again.
Jack was pretty frisky all day. I think it's obviously terrible news and terrible timing for Soldo. If, as you said, Nank stepping up, I think it's really good that he's got a couple of games under his belt, that he's had the long absence and he's, working himself into form and game fitness. So, yeah, I feel reassured we're in we're in good hands again, but it's devastating for Salto.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just sort of the thing is it might cost him a premiership medal because that's how good we are.
Yeah. Well, ACL and PCL injury could cost him two.
Thanks, Nick. That's really helpful.
Luckily we haven't got one of our other Ruckman suspended for 10 weeks.
Yeah, my favourite underdog ruck prospect. Also managers. I was actually thinking this. I don't know. He was under contract next year. But, you know, obviously the South Australian kid and Adelaide need to rebuild. I wonder whether this, you know, in an over speculative thought at the moment is that this might keep CCJ on the list, where otherwise he might have been traded.
Mm. Yeah, quite possibly.
Look, he's the number two ruck in Richmond in 2021, and that's even if he leaves after that, that gives him, if he plays 15 games, he'll get a lot more than he would have otherwise.
Mm. So, in a well-timed effort, Mabia Chol kicked 5 goals in the scratch match today. So it seems pretty obvious who'll come in for Tom Lynch. I think both Caddy and Asprey were meant to play, but haven't heard how they've gone. So there's obviously Shane Edwards coming out of quarantine as well. So there's some cavalry, but yeah, it's a bit of a restructure to the team.
Yeah, the team depth is phenomenal at the moment. Don't worry, we're about to talk about how amazing the game was because I've got strong positive takes on the game for the listeners. Yes, the depth is great. We're bringing in genuinely high quality premiership players and Edwards and Caddy potentially, Prestia. And I'm sorry, yes, of course, Asprey and Prestia, of course, may be back. Yeah. There's a sort of little bit more pessimism around here, but let's not also forget with the Rucks. You know, it's not necessarily my take, as we know, I'm one-eyed, but Sarah Black said 4 weeks ago that Nank and Chol was probably the best Richmond ruck outfit. Like, that's how close it is that we sort of we get caught in the immediacy of the moment, and since the West Coast game, we've all thought that clearly Nank and Soldo was the best ruck combination. But I actually think I don't think it's cut and dried, and I don't think the coaches know for sure either. So I'm devastated much more on an individual level for Soldo than I am. I actually don't think it will be potentially as impactful. If Lynch misses one final, that's far worse. Like, Lynch is absolutely so. Even look, we'll talk about Lynch and Jack in a sec. I want to talk about the games, Nick. I've been gone for too long without sort of recognizing that was a phenomenally good game. I know we're getting a bit repetitive every week, but I heard someone, a neutral, describe as we could have won by 10 goals, and yeah, we could have. Like, I thought we had them just the way, very early on, the way Short kicked the long kick out from defence, hit someone on the, like, we had no trouble, and we got up to half forward from a kick out just almost instantaneously. We had no trouble transferring the ball through their defence. They had real trouble with it. The flow of the game towards the just before the half, they were down by 4 goals and they went defensive. It was the strangest thing that they started chipping around to end the clock, even though they're multiple goals down. And actually, to the real credit of the Queensland crowd, they got booed a little bit, which was I was very impressed by. Then they came out in the second half, chipping the ball around with waxing in that sort of it. Now, I know they're a chipping team, but that was a very defensive chipping style. It was almost like what Collingwood tried to do it is, but it was a complete shift in the game plan up till then. And they just wasted 10 minutes, and then they got comprehensively flogged in the third quarter. When Lynch went down, we were winning 11-34, and at the three-quarter time, we were up by 32 points. Like, you know, that was an insurmountable lead in the 16-minute quarters. Yes, they made a late comeback to keep the TV ratings good, but it was never going to work. As much as in the moment we all got nervous, I'm not saying I didn't get nervous too.
It's terrible.
But, Nick, like, we killed them. Like, we absolutely killed them. They didn't know how to play us. And I'll let you talk about it. There's about a million things we could talk about that went well. But we really did there was in no way, just if you watch the – like, you can't quite prove it by the inside 50s. Wasn't that big a domination. We had more time in our forward half. It was 58-42. But just if you watch the game, we were killing them. And, yes, they made a late comeback to make the scoreline respectable. But we, over the course of the game – We'd ended it as a contest by three-quarter time. And against what we discussed, was a really good team. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. I feel, you know, we've taken Geelong, West Coast, Brisbane, every game we've imposed our style of football on them far more than they've imposed their style of football on us. As you said, there was lots of short and wide stuff. I honestly think that was as much a failure of game plan as it was a failure of imagination. Like players were looking up and there was no answers. You know, Vlosten was there, Grimes was there, Bolter was tight and disciplined on Hawkins. It was just we gave them no options. And We played the game that we wanted. You mentioned about pre-game that the Cats were last in the league in turnovers, and yet we forced them into, I think it was 11 more turnovers than what we had. Like, both teams gave it their best shot, and our best shot was quite a bit better.
Yeah, they had their lowest, even though they saw the one on the pressure axe, they had their lowest pressure rating of the year. We were the game plan, and we had no player above 20 possessions. That's just unheard of. Like they had all the basic possessions, and a lot of it was waxing. We killed them in every sort of your super coach score, or some sort of superficial metric, but we killed them in what matters, in the way the game was played.
Well. I thought, the commentary. The commentary had its highs and lows. I'll have to say that.
Don't you hate it when Kerry has a good point?
Well, yeah.
I'm ideologically opposed to him on all grounds, but he was right about. He basically said one thing all game, which was Dylan Grimes is killing it with intercept marks, and he called it early, and if you're going to have one call, he did nail it.
It's a good one. Well, the other one that they said about how that we were happy for Geelong to do the short and wide stuff because it just allowed us to set up in front of the ball, and I thought that was exactly right. Actually, speaking of the commentary, I still as you know, I have many passions in my life, quite a few of them related to the AFL draft, but. I don't think I love anything quite as much as Bruce McAvaney enjoyed talking about Oleg Markov's fantastic effort at a 1990 World Championship in the pole vault.
I love that bit. I wrote about down exactly the same thing. That was like, it was just one of those bits where you say, Bruce, he's not quite as sharp as he once was, but it's one of those moments where you go, oh, yeah, it's going to be really sad when he goes, because that love of him talking about pole vaulting, like it was just, you can see it. Like, I was going to talk about this when we got to Markov, but, he's 11 possessions, but he's just repeat run like that. And his ability is just when he starts running up the field on a chain of hand passes, he's just like he goes into warp speed. It's like he goes twice as he covers twice as much ground per stride as anyone else on either team. Sorry, go.
Oh well, look, just on that. So I was, a frustration of mine is that when they present information without really giving it much context, so. you know, it would, the admittedly impressive statistic that Noah Bolter had reached the fastest top speed of anyone on the ground wasn't as impressive as the fact that that was the fastest top speed that any Richmond player has reached for this season. He's just an athletic beast. And
funnily enough, Nick, if we can just repeat a conversation we had, we had a bit of a conversation this week about with some friends about who should play on Tomahawk, and one of our friends argued that we're talking about basically who's quicker these days, Grimes or Bolter, and we had a little bit of a thing. Well, Grimes might have been faster when he's younger, but you know, he's 29 now. Yada yada, but the thing was, they were 1-2 in the sprint stats, so it was. Yeah. Oh yeah, they're both really good athletes. Yeah, yeah. It's one of those happy arguments where everyone was right.
I know. I actually checked on who are our fastest players over the season, and you know, Bolters was the individual fastest, but consistently our two quickest players are Pickett and Markov, and they both rank very well in repeat sprint stats as well, and I think for both of them that's why they're in the team. Camden McIntosh a quite solid performer on the repeat sprint stat stuff too. I think just that we've made a decision to go for overall team speed and athleticism, and it just suffocates a team like Geelong, which frankly isn't as fast.
Yeah. So just before we get off Markov, I just wanted to know, you know, that terrible Lynch goal miss that he had where he was running into goal and he'd had the ball tapped onto him.
That was my frustration with the commentator. How did they not mention that that was identical to the tap on that Bruce McAvaney missed the first time in the third quarter of the preliminary final last year? One of the
against
Geelong, one of the greatest individual pieces of team play that we've seen in the same quarter, as we were threatening to break this game open. Like, it was perfect. Oh.
That's a really, really good point. But also, that was set up by Oleg doing a run from half back that I don't think anyone else on the team could have done, I suspect. His acceleration, his ability to break lines. I think there's so many things to unpack there. One thing, just going back to the game plan, we had 32 less disposals on the game versus Geelong, and we had 370 yards more meters gained. And you could see it, like there were times, you know, just beautiful, like when we're in trouble in inverted commas in the fourth quarter, I just loved how aggressive we were with our hand passing out of the back line. We just didn't go into our shells. We didn't try to short kick. We just went, you know, right to the end. It was pedal to the middle, pedal to the metal, just keep playing our style. But, you know, one example of, you know, we have such efficient disposal, we just go forward with all our kicks is our leading, guess who was our leading meters gained on the day, Nick?
I mean, it's almost always Jaden Short, since he's leading the AFL in meters gained.
Oh, bugger, it was actually. Sorry, our second leading was Camden Pat McIntosh, but he had 400 meters gained, and he did that on 13 touches. Like, you know, you compare that to some of the Geelong players. You know, Guthrie had 23 touches and 240 meters gained. Almost twice as many with sort of a third less meters gained. Like, it's such a different game plan. Atkins had 16 disposals and 6 meters gained.
I thought Dusty had a game where he looked like the best player on the ground and looked like at any moment he was going to break the game open and completely dominate it, and he was still very good. I think he'll be in the coaches' votes without, you know, I think Grimes should be best on ground. But I was thinking that I don't respect Tom Stewart as much as I should, just because, you know, he plays much better against other teams than he does us, because nobody can match up on Dusty.
Yeah, when Tom Stewart gave away that holding free to Dusty, I just thought that must be just like it just must be so depressing for Tom Stewart to play against Dusty because you can never come back from that moment. You know, it's just whatever he does for the rest of his career. I guess if he beats him in a final and beats him in a 1-1, but that's the only way that he could ever get redemption for sort of, and you know, it wasn't that would have happened to anyone. It wasn't really Tom Stewart's fault, but you can't get that over that, can you? He actually wasn't I wouldn't have given him votes. Like, he was very close in the third. That he had a couple of shots that would have broken the game. You know, his best moment was probably that super long kick to Jack, which led to a goal. If he kicked two of the sort of Dusty like shots, which to him are quite gettable, then his rating shoot up. But yeah, I think I agree with your overall thesis that it was an almost game, but still, you know. I mean, he must be so much in Geelong players' head that even if Dusty was to not get a touch in that game, he would have influenced it because they would have been sucking towards him.
The Jack in his post-game interview said that Liam Baker was his favourite player, and he was probably a little bit excited, but I can see where he's coming from.
Yeah, and actually won some really big touches late and just, you know, he's beautiful the way he rebounds so hard and attacks the ball, and he's so well balanced when he comes through with the footy. By the way, a real for people who don't like, I guess if you don't like stats, you probably don't listen to this podcast. But
I've made a mistake.
I thought I'd been listening to the official club podcast for 5 years, but I hear they talk about music a lot. Damn it! I was wondering when Richo was going to come on. Baker's the advanced stats love him, and they loved him as a junior, and he's still getting picked up. And it's one of those things where the advanced stats actually really well reflect what he is as a footballer, because he just wins quality inside contested balls and that comes out really well on advanced metrics. Anyway, sorry, that was a long-winded point, but yeah, I completely agree.
Just his confidence. I think he just feels up to the pace of the level, and when he gets the ball, he's just making good decisions coming out of the back line. And yes, super brave, getting in front of Hawkins on the lead. You know, he's giving up 35 kilos to Hawkins, and he does it without thinking. He's great.
Nick, another I think it's fair to say one of your long-term favourites and a lot of Richmond supporters is the best Rioli is big game Rioli, game goals Rioli. In the first quarter, he had that, you know, one incredibly important goal at the end of the first quarter. And, you know, speaking of other moments that could have been referenced, Rioli kicking a goal.
Trigger moments of joy.
Yeah, Rioli kicking a goal at the end of a quarter. He sort of went down the race for the rest of the game. He was fine, but he only had seven more possessions. So he basically only doubled his quarter total after he went down the race. So maybe he was slightly addled by something. But, you know, and also it's not unusual for Rioli to play like that. But, his first quarter was really important in the game, I thought. Yeah. And there was a moment. There was one kick he did when he came in board. The commentators, to their credit, picked up on it. It was just such high skill because he was kicking off. He was not in the line of his kick, and he just nailed it beautifully in board to, I think it's Bolton or Pickett.
I have in my notes that Jack Ross did Jack Graham-like pressure.
Yes, that's fair. His tackling's good. For a relatively young player, it's probably not going to 13 touches, but it was Nick. He led. Oh, controversial. He actually beat Jack Graham in his pressure acts.
I know. I think
the King's been dethroned.
I know. On the AFL pressure acts, which I think are a slightly different measure to the one he had the most pressure acts of anyone on the ground. He had some nice moments with the ball as well. I don't think his place in the team is particularly secure given who's potentially coming back. But yeah,
and like, it was a nice game. At some at some stage, I mean, our centre clearance, like, it's one thing, okay, we lose clearances around the ground, but they're not good clearances, and we get the intercept. But our centre square clearances are a car wreck, and that's not good. No. Has to change. I surely wish Shedder come straight back in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The footage of him, he looks great.
He looks ripped. Super, he looks fit, like an Instagram model.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I suppose, just getting up, you know, you can train all you want, but there's nothing quite like the pace of a game. So it's good. It's good he'll have this week to get back into it. But yeah, the pressure's on for spots. There's going to be Ross has already been an emergency for a grand final. There's going to be the first final we play, unless, you know, if the players who are coming back make it back, then there's going to be some desperately unlucky people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's amazing depth that our best and fairest is out possibly for the year, and it still seems incredibly hard to get a spot in the team. I mean, it does. It goes to a point we've talked about. Like, it just, I mean, we repeat it. It feels like we say this every week. We are just so lucky with this generation of Richmond. It's just a phenomenally good team. Like, the depth they've managed to accumulate with late picks. You know, that we are the green chip chair specialists. It's been a phenomenal return. And Nick, we've got this far. Sorry to it's time we paid a bit more tribute to Jack's four goals. It was pretty special. It's pretty special to have the old guy taking hangers again, because he's been thereabouts, but he hasn't been clunking them. And it was just nice for him to nail one.
Yeah, and just in time as well with Lynch going down. Yeah, he's, you know, there's always the question of Jack's played with Jack's hardly ever missed a game across his career other than last year. But you know, there's talk he had a bit of a knee earlier in the year. But he's clearly feeling good, and I thought he was quite emotional even at the when he kicked his fourth goal and at the end of the game. Like, he's pretty fired up.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he probably, I don't know why he's, I don't know, maybe he felt the pressure of the outside speculation. I don't know, but it's, I think that's fair, but I think it's also fair that he just, even without today, without yesterday, he's still in like superb complimentary firm form. And look, I know it's fish in a barrel to be taking the Mickey out of Mick Malthouse is an incredibly bad call, but it's so hard to get key forwards. Like, why? Like, we should be, you know, we should ride Jack till the tires fall off and then ride it some more. You know, we don't have his replacement on the list, and it'll take 3 years to develop. And yeah, like, it's just what he gives is so rare and difficult to get.
Mm. Oh yeah, absolutely. Look, it's That call probably hasn't aged as badly as Matthew Lloyd saying that he was a month away from saying that Gold Coast were closer to a premiership than Richmond. That one didn't age well. But
we're restrained from Matthew Lloyd that he found a way to make the hot take without actually owning it.
Yeah. Looked at the last of the players I wanted to mention. Look, George hasn't been at top form this season, but his goal in the last quarter was a deeply satisfying moment.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he touched the ball three times in that show?
No, I didn't. Oh, nice.
Yeah, like, it was just, you know, run, give, run. Like, it was like a training drill where everyone had to kick a goal, and George was the only one who hadn't, and so they were just feeding him the ball till he kicked it. And he nailed it, and I love that. Have you seen the video of someone celebrating? Oh, George is going to say yes! As it goes through.
It only just snuck through as well.
Yeah, and he burned Dusty, so it wanted to. But, yeah, look, effectively the it was still like there was 7 minutes to play and we're up by 16 points and the Cats had barely scored. The game wasn't that much in doubt, but you know, of course, you get nervous in the moment.
I double fist pumped.
I don't know where George's why he was so down and now he's good again. Like, I don't have a theory, but you know, that wasn't his only shot at goal. And so, you know, he was obviously very youthful. And I reckon now that Lynch is out, we'll need another person creating a contest in the forward line, which is something he did a lot in 2017, which he doesn't do as much now. And I think that'll be really useful with Lynch out. And look, it's something I talked a lot about last week. Lynch is so important to the structure. Like, you can tell there are moments when the ball in the fourth quarter, when the ball got kicked into the – there was a moment where there was 3-on-1, and Jack did really well to get a touch on the ball so it wasn't an opposition mark. But the difference between Jack and Lynch was that Lynch is so strong that he can center point it. So even if he doesn't mark it, it's going to a very predictable front and center spot for the Crummers. Whereas Jack, he just touched it, which is still great, but it wasn't nearly as an easy ball to Crumb because it didn't clear the immediate area and the Geelong players were set up. So it's not a criticism of Jack, just a like Lynch is just so the way he marks, even when, and because none of that gets a stat, that hard contest or in any metric, advanced or basic, but it's incredibly valuable to the team and we've been setting up around it. So we'll miss it, but it doesn't hurt us to play in a different way for a while.
Well, I think, you know, Chole's been a consistent goal kicker in the VFL. You know, he's kicked a reasonable number of goals in senior footy, but he's just really just got to spend the whole week getting into his mindset that same attitude that Jack and Lynch have got into of just relentlessly creating the contest. And look, yeah, Adelaide are not anywhere near an intercepting team on the level that you know, teams like West Coast are. But you know, the task is the same, and for him to keep his spot and be useful, then that's what he's got to do.
Yeah, I completely agree. I reckon the coaches are just saying to him this week, contest, 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 contest. And you know, he won't be able to beat a 3-on-1. He's not built the same way as Lynch is.
No.
But you know, if he occasionally can draw a 2-on-1 and never outright lose a 1-on-1, that's enough. So yeah, it's a huge game for him in his career because they could, you know, Nick, there is precedent for Richmond going without without a second ruck, and you could do it. Well, you could ruck. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say Asprey coming back into the team, like you could play Bolter as a backup ruck again. It sort of gives me pain to even mention the possibility, but. You know, Bolter was the last player dropped during the regular season of 2019 before the finals. Like he wasn't that far away.
Yeah, and look, you just it's really a dilemma, isn't it? Because he played really well again. There was one context, and to his credit, I think BT pointed it out, but he was outbodied and he still came back for a second bite. To Tom Hawk. And there was a couple of things he did where I thought, wow, that's, you know, super impressive. Now, yes, he got a massive assist from Grimes, but there are other moments where he was 1-on-1 and he didn't get beaten. Yeah, he's amazing. And I love the way he uses the footy a lot, and he's aggressive with his hand passes. They know they all know whether they're going to go with the ball next. We're so purposeful with the ball, which other teams are not. It's just broken record, but it's a delight to watch.
Yeah. Anyone else you wanted to mention from the game?
No, not really. The sort of my overwhelming impression was what an amazing team game. You know, I go back to that point that, you know, Vossi was our second best rated player according to Champion data because, you know, he had 7 intercepts to Grimes 12. But, you know, was he good? Did he take a crucial intercept mark in the last quarter when things were slightly shaky? Yes. But, you know, he had 15 touches. Like it was just an amazing team game. You just go down the list, you see that these people with these just this overall this just flanks of people who are getting around 15 touches a game. Also, I mean, you picked him up before, but I thought Pickett, that was the best 10 possession game a wingman can have. Because I loved his pressure. Some of his touches were really nice, and he brings it. Also, I hate the way he sometimes bumps when he should tackle. But yeah,
I'm sure there's at least one example that's going to be in match review.
Yeah, the one that Baker cleared up for him.
Yeah,
yeah, which became a highlight I saw because of what Baker did, but tackling danger, but. Yeah, I also wonder whether he's been told to do that. You know, he's sort of like play your natural game, and he's natural game, that sort of going for the bump like that. Like you do that at the next level down in footy. Like it's quite an understandable play because, you know, you don't intimidate AFL players as much, but, you know, that's like I'm sure there's plenty of waffle players who are glad that Marlon Pickett's not playing in the waffle anymore. Because he's a strong physical player, but I wonder about the utility of. But him definitely, when he's pressuring the ball carrier with good tackles, he's great.
Mm. Look, before we talk about the Crows, we had, you know, it's nice to have some positive off-field news to talk about. continuing Richmond's record of idiosyncratic. Category B rookie replacements. So these are where you're picking up somebody who hasn't played any sort of registered football for the last 3 years. So we signed Mate Kalina, who's Noah Bolter's cousin, and a full 213 centimetres, so full, you know, genuine 7 feet tall, 110 kilo, currently the backup centre for the Hawaii Rainbows basketball team.
Fun fact, Nick, I've seen a University of Hawaii football team home game.
Look, I would never begrudge someone wanting to study at University of Hawaii. looks like a very nice lifestyle, but he's a pretty unique. So there's been quite a number of players come over from basketball, but he's actually continuing with his basketball allegedly for the next. His plan is to finish the last 2 years of his college degree, and so the basketball season's about November through March, and then he'll come back and train and presumably play with Richmond. In between, so that is quite a different situation. I mean, he said there was a good interview ESPN did where they talked about, he was keeping his options open. Look, from what I've seen, you know, he's miles away from being an NBA prospect. I'm not certain he's even an NBL prospect. To be honest,
you've been let's not sell it short, Nick. You've been pounding the university, the Rainbows game tape, haven't you?
Well, let's just say that somebody he's a legitimate 7 foot tall should be able to dunk more than he does. Like he's not vertically explosive. He's more of a grinding, getting up and down the court kind of athlete, which is actually okay because neither was Aaron Sanderlands. Like for a human being, there are just not that many big, strong human beings of that size. And if he was, a really good athlete, then he would have a more successful career in basketball.
Yeah, he'd be playing 82 games a year.
Yeah. Yeah,
and just something actually, Nick, because I too am a nerd. I compared him to Mason Cox's college basketball career, turns out Mason Cox wasn't very good. He never even like Mace. Mace is a legit backup.
I think it's Mate.
Yeah, I know. I'm being a smartass, but I'm shorthanding it. But Mason never got to that level even in his senior season. So people don't understand. college sport is, or your last season's always your best one. In Mason's last year, he got a little bit of junk time playing time, which is, you know, he's still a college athlete. Like, that's a really big thing. Played for Oklahoma State. That's a big university. There's a lot of kudos on that in America, but it's not like Kalina's already probably achieved more in his career.
And he has, unlike Soldo, he has played some AFL before. But yeah, look, it's a speculative move that costs us little. So yeah, I'm all in favour of it, but with suitably modest expectations.
Yeah, and BT's going to call him as coming from the Calder Cannons Football Factory because he did play for the Calder Cannons.
I don't know that he did. I think he might have trained with him. I don't think he actually played.
Okay, fair enough.
So, Adelaide.
Suddenly frisky.
Suddenly frisky. But, oh my God, they were a dead to the point of the sheet having been pulled up and them going into the morgue. Like, there was, you know, some teams, you know, just have a, you know, the Gold Coast lost a lot of games, but their percentage is pretty good, and they've had some good wins, lost some close ones. Adelaide's only lost one close game. Like, they really genuinely lost the first 14 games of the season because they weren't very good. And then the last 2 weeks, they are showing definite signs of life.
Yeah, they are, and I've got a few key players back. Sort of be interesting to see how they go today. But the thing is, the meaningfulness of the game is obviously we probably need to win to stay top four. All the teams around us are going to win. It is slightly. The key, I thought if we win, we definitely get a home final. The slight bummer is if the Geelong win, unless Brisbane loses twice and Port wins once and drops the Pies game, then we have to play Port Adelaide in Port Adelaide, which sucks to an extent. But we still, because we're playing this Adelaide game beforehand, at least we'll get a feel of the ground. And hopefully we won't. When we got flogged by Port, we did that off a four-day break and had to fly into Port Adelaide on the day of the game, which just is a very suboptimal way to play football, obviously. So the long shot of those permutations is, I think the best-case scenario is we win and Port Adelaide beats Collingwood, as most people have probably worked out. But the short of that is it's a highly meaningful football game. It's Tex Walker's last game.
Is that announced?
I don't know, but presumably it will be. And you know, there would be some poetic justice in getting a sort of a superficial win to end the year. It will also cost them the number one draft pick potentially if they win. So,
players don't care about that. They do
because they get their replacement, but the coach might.
So in what seems like a million years ago, right, Riley O'Brien, their ruckman, was a problem for us last year. And he's been in good form. They've got the Crouch brothers winning a ton of football. Rory Laird and Brodie Smith are two really genuinely good defenders, which we know about. But it is amazing. Like, the Crows went into the 2017 Grand Final as, you know, highest scoring team in the competition, and their attack looks absolutely nothing like that these days, other than the corpse of Tex. Like, it does make me happy. Tyson Stengel is a productive player for them. I still think he'd struggle to get a game for us. But yeah.
I think the day George is still playing for Richmond and Dim is still coaching us, that I think when he gets a bit past it, 31, you'll pray when on the selection team meeting on the Thursday night, you'll have to prize Castagna selection magnet out of Dimmer's cold dead hands.
Yeah.
There's no way any of the current small forwards are losing their spot to Wombat. Bless him.
No, bless him. They've got Shane McAdam, who's another one of the McAdam family, who's pretty dangerous. Yeah, cool. He was the part of the return for trading Mitch McGovern to Carlton in sort of trade that hasn't really worked for either team. And they've got some youngsters like Elliot Himmelberg, Chase Jones, Fogarty, who I quite like. But yeah, they've been good the last 2 weeks. Like it is a banana peel game, but I think we'll start pretty heavy favourites.
Oh, absolutely we will. And really heavy favourite. And, you know, I hate the injuries, but like I said, Soldo is very coverable. Breaks my heart to say that. Lynch, I think, is a massive loss, but I think it's okay for one game in the forward line. I just, the history of Richmond teams is that when Jack went out, when we were a single person forward line, that we always improvised really well. And we've got a lot of guys who played football in these kind of forward lines before. Now, I don't think you can just reel out the 2017 game plan and expect it to work again, but a variation thereof probably will. We are just playing such brilliant football. Like, and it can always be a banana peel. Things can go badly. Like, we haven't really had one of those games at all. The games we've lost, we really sort of deserve to lose.
No, that's true.
But,
I hope we're not saving it for the finals.
No, but, like, it's not, like, even us who are good at sort of finding it's hard to hand on heart say that you're deeply worried about this game. I mean, Dibber did a great job of it in his press conferences,
He was very convincing.
Yeah, no, like Dibber's really good at stuff like that. He's really good at talking about the other team. Always gracious, always very complimentary, and always meaningful too, actually. I think as someone who's not paid to say sweet platitudes in press conferences, I think we're going to get him.
Look, as of 11 o'clock last night, I was super confident. You know, mid-afternoon on Saturday, I'm already starting to hum and haw. Like, you know, I'll work myself into a degree of worry. I think we'll win, because I think the professionalism of the team and just turning up and getting the job done. Other than, I was mentioning about having a look at our sprint stats and running speeds and that type of thing. Like the first few games back, like, really look odd. Our running numbers are well off. Like particularly the Hawthorn and St Kilda games. So I think, you know, since then, like the last couple of months, we've really been locked in, professional on the field. So yeah. I think we can get it done.
Nick, I mean, not to be the last comment I'll make is just things can always go wrong, and I don't want to sound like, you know, to be too hubristic, but if you're not paying attention for the last 4 years of football about our training staff's ability to have this team firing in September, like you just got to look at the empirical evidence. We crushed teams at this time of year, and even the famous Collingwood game where, you know, everything that could go wrong did get wrong. We came back really hard in that game. On a nice big oval like Adelaide Oval, if we can just win at the odd clearance, I think we'll be fine.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal, right on the siren. Soldo to pick it, whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your marks.
Oh, gee whiz.
He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. How sweet it is, eh?
Pickett lines up.
There are alarm bells going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy. Started with him.
Yep.
Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. That is a play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. At champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals, you can make the case for being best on ground.
Fighting for we're from Tigerland. We never weep until the final siren's gone. Like the tiger of old, the strong and ribald, for we're from Tiger. Yellow and black, we're from Tigerland.
And I think they were a better team last year than they are now.